Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 22. Prithu Maharaj's meeting with the Kumaras. Text 23. One has to make progress in spiritual life by not associating with persons who are simply interested in sense gratification and making money. Not only such persons, but one who associates with such persons should be avoided. One should mold his life in such a way that he cannot live in peace without drinking the nectar of the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. One can thus be elevated by being disgusted with the taste for sense enjoyment. Purport. In the material world, everyone is interested in money and sense gratification. The only objective is to earn as much money as possible and utilize it for satisfaction of the senses. Srila Shukadeva Goswami thus described the activities of the materialistic persons. Nidraya hriyate naktam vyavayena chavavaya jiva chartehaya rajan kutumba bharanenava. Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 1, Text 3. This is a typical example of materialistic persons. At night, they waste their time by sleeping more than 6 hours or by wasting time in sex indulgence. This is their occupation at night, and in the morning, they go to their offices or business place just to earn money. As soon as there is some money, they become busy in purchasing things for their children and others. Such persons are never interested in understanding the values of life. What is God? What is the individual soul? What is its relationship with God, and so forth. Things are degraded to such an extent that those who are supposed to be religious are also at the present moment interested only in sense gratification. The number of materialistic persons in this age of Kali has increased more than in any other age. Therefore, persons who are interested in going back home, back to Godhead, should not only engage in the service of realized souls, but you give up the company of materialistic persons whose only aim is to earn money and employ it in sense gratification. They should also not accept the objectives of materialistic persons, namely money and sense gratification. Therefore, it is stated, Bhakti Pareshanu Bhavo Varaktir Anyatra Cha. Bhagavatam 11th Canto, Chapter 2, Text 42. To advance in devotional service, one should be uninterested in the materialistic way of life. That which is the subject matter of satisfaction for the devotees is of no interest to the non-devotees. Simple negation or giving up the company of materialistic persons will not do. We must have engagements. Sometimes it is found that a person interested in spiritual advancement gives up the company of material society and goes to a secluded place, as recommended for the yogis especially. But that also will not help a person in spiritual advancement, for in many instances, such yogis also fall down. As far as gyanis are concerned, generally they fall down without taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The impersonalist or the voidist can simply avoid the positive material association. They cannot remain fixed in transcendence without being engaged in devotional service. The beginning of devotional service is to hear about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is recommended in this verse. Vina hareya guna piyusha panat. One must drink the nectar of the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this means that one must always be engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. It is the prime method for advancing in spiritual life. Lord Chaitanya also recommends this in Chaitanya Charitamrita. If one wants to make advancement in spiritual life, by great fortune, he may meet a bona fide spiritual master and from him learn about Krishna. By serving both the spiritual master and Krishna, he gets the seed of devotional service, bhakti lata bij. And if he sows the seed within his heart and waters it by hearing and chanting, it grows into a luxuriant bhakti lata, or bhakti creeper. The creeper is so strong that it penetrates the covering of the universe and reaches the spiritual world and continues to grow on and on until it reaches and takes shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Just as an ordinary creeper also grows on and on until it takes solid shelter on a roof. Then it very steadily grows and produces the required fruit. The real cause of the growing of such fruit, which is here called the nectar of hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is to water the creeper of devotional service by hearing and chanting. The purport is that one cannot live outside the society of devotees. One must live in the association of devotees where there is constant chanting and hearing of the glories of the Lord. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is started for this purpose, so that hundreds of ISKCON centers may give people a chance to hear and chant, to accept the spiritual master, and to disassociate themselves from persons who are materially interested. For in this way, one can make solid advancement in going back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om agyana chimadandasya gyananjana shalakaya. Chakshun militan yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Here we have very wonderful instructions for what to do with the tiny allotment of our life. There is such a thing as bhakti lata, the bhakti creeper. Now just think, that creeper is so strong it can penetrate the covering of the universe. The coverings of the universe are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. So thick in comparison to the inside of the universe, the coverings are so dense. Yet, the creeper of your devotional service, when watered properly, can penetrate those coverings of the universe and reach the spiritual world. That creeper can grow and grow until it takes shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. And then fruits are produced, and you can taste those fruits. This is the development of devotional service. And for that development, we must have the association of devotees. If we're going to be surrounded by hearing and chanting, we must be surrounded by devotees. If we are surrounded by materialistic persons, then obviously we're not going to be hearing the glories of Krishna. So here you see the modus operandi of a devotee. Here you see the crux of the struggle to be a devotee within the material world. You're always trying to surround yourself with hearing and chanting. Regardless of your lifestyle, regardless of your ashram. What does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say? Grihe tako, vane tako, sadahare bole tako. No matter what ashram you're in, grihasta, vanaprastha, sannyas, always chant Hare Krishna. Now, it should dawn on us that if we're always going to chant Hare Krishna, if we're always going to drink the glories of the Lord, we must have devotees around us as much as possible. So that takes what I like to call lifestyle engineering. It is your responsibility to manipulate your life so that around you there are always devotees of the Lord hearing and chanting about Krishna. Then you are successful. Then you are truly wealthy. In other words, this purport, in fact, the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is redefining wealth. Real wealth means to be smack dab in the middle of devotees hearing and chanting Krishna's glories. Then your life is successful. So Prabhupada describes, this is why one cannot live outside the society of devotees. It is not a political injunction. an institutional injunction. Religious bureaucracy and religious politics. Outmoded spiritual hierarchies, which are no longer relevant in this day and age of freestyle spirituality. No, it's not about that. It's all about what you need for the bhakti lata to grow in such a way that it even penetrates the coverings of the material universe and takes shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. In order for that to happen, you must have the society of devotees, and you have to live in their association. Then you'll be surrounded by constant chanting and hearing of the glories of the Lord. So, Srila Prabhupada writes, the Krishna consciousness movement is started for this purpose, so that hundreds of ISKCON centers may give people a chance to hear and chant, to accept the spiritual master, and to disassociate themselves from persons who are materially interested. This is the lifestyle arrangements that we must make. We must make these arrangements if we're serious about going back home, back to Godhead. The four Kumaras are advising. Mold your life in such a way that you can't live in peace without drinking the nectar of the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. Please think about that. These are lifestyle management instructions. Shape your life. Mold your lifestyle. Engineer your whole existence in such a way that there's no peace unless you can hear about Krishna, drinking the nectar of Krishna. So what do you think about that? There you have it in a nutshell. What you're meant to do with your life, with your tiny independence. You're meant to mold, shape, engineer, manage your existence, this tiny short existence, so that you can't live in peace without hearing about Krishna. When that state is reached, in which you can't live in peace without hearing about Krishna, then you know, I've got real wealth, my life is successful. Spiritual life is meant for progress. It's not meant for, shall we say, stationary religious belief and inertia. It's meant for dynamics, constantly pushing forward. So we have to look at our life and see, am I making progress? Am I just treading water? Or am I going backwards? Now you may say, well, I may not be going forward, but what's wrong with treading water? At least I'm not going backwards. Okay, I'm stuck in one spot for quite some time. But at least, you know, I'm not sinking. I'm treading water, I'm staying in one place. The problem with just treading water instead of moving ahead is that you spend so much energy just to tread water, and you don't have that dynamic taste. And therefore, after a while, you wonder, you know, I'm going through all the mechanics of bhakti. I'm executing this, executing that, engaging in this, engaging in that. And, of course, I also have some other extra baggage on my shoulders that I won't let go. But I'm going to do it all. I'm going to have material. I'm going to have spiritual. It's all going to be there at once. I may not be moving forward, but at least I don't think I'm going backwards. The problem with that program of so-called having it all, material, spiritual, I'll just be stable in one spot, so to speak. I'll just tread water. The problem is, where does the taste come from? The taste comes from dynamic efforts to please Krishna's senses. If we just restrain ourselves to just not move forward, to stay in one spot, so to speak, gradually we lose sight of the ever-fresh taste of bhakti. And then we start to wonder, and here's where the doubts come. Is it all worth it? Every morning, getting up, or at least most mornings, everything you do has to be done for Krishna. Well, at least a little something has to be done for Krishna. Only associating with devotees. Well, at least some of the time associating with devotees. Chanting Hare Krishna every day. Squeezing out those 16 rounds. Most days, anyway. After a while, you begin to wonder, is it worth it? So much energy I'm putting in. Actually, it's not so much energy, but the mind always tells you, you're putting so much energy into sadhana while the real world is marching by. Is it worth it? What's wrong with just believing in Krishna? Just back off, calm down, have a nice religious belief, be a nice person, and leave it at that. It sounds very good. Maybe. The problem is, where is your taste? In order to taste the Navarasa, the ever-fresh taste of bhakti, you have to push forward in pleasing Krishna's senses. The relationship has to be dynamic. Just like even in a mundane relationship, if two persons are just coexisting and they're not constantly trying to understand each other and please each other, the relationship becomes stale, mechanical, and after a while even they start insulting each other, yelling at each other. What's the use of you anyway? Who needs you around here anyway? And the relationship falls apart. First, you start off attracted to each other. As we've explained before, mundane scientists have now calculated the world statistic for the duration of romantic feelings. Those romantic feelings that hit you like a thunderbolt. And then they also leave you. How long do they last? What's the world average? 17 months. So, there's 17 months of the intense burning caused by Cupid's arrows, and then it's all gone. And then you say, let's strive for coexistence. We'll tolerate each other, and leave it at that. After a while of toleration and coexistence, the next step is anger. Who are you anyway? What are you doing for me? What are you doing around here? And then get out of here. Just get out of my life. I never want to see you again. So that deterioration, that process of deterioration, is because there's no Navarasa in the material world. There's no such thing as ever-fresh taste. And therefore you begin to wonder, why am I exerting myself so much? The point that is, in spiritual life, we must be pushing ahead. So that there's no doubt in our mind about the ever-fresh taste of Krishna's service. Materialists have goals, they have ambitions. Devotees also have goals and ambitions. They want to do more for Krishna, be more pure for Krishna, associate with devotees better for Krishna, hear Krishna's holy name with more attention. These are the goals that drive a devotee onward, and therefore the fresh taste is always increasing. So the four Kumaras are giving these basic instructions, how to make progress, how to push ahead. First, there's the negative. Don't associate with persons who are simply interested in sense gratification and making money. Because your whole vision of Krishna, your consciousness of Krishna, will be polluted. And it will happen subtly. So subtly that unless you're very sharp, you won't pick it up until it's too late. You don't realize what's happened to you, that your whole innards have been transformed by mundane association. When actually, if you stick to the association of devotees, you'll get what the four Kumaras are saying here, disgust with the taste for sense enjoyment. That's another kind of wealth. Let's think about it. Disgust with the taste of sense enjoyment. It is possible. Prahlad Maharaj describes in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, Sukham Indriyakam Daitya. Oh, my Daityas, my demoniac schoolmates, let me tell you, the Sukham Indriyakam, that kind of sukha, that kind of happiness perceived in relation to the senses and the sense objects. Guess what? Deha. Yes, you can have it in any species of life. The taste is the same. I'll never forget my first Srila Prabhupada literature that I got, the Transcendental Teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. And right on the first page or second page, he made this point that the flavor, that rasa of sense gratification, tastes the same in any species of life. It hit me like a nuclear bomb. I thought it was so special. I thought it was so unique. And now I am reading for the first time something I have never heard before. After 4 intense years of Yale University, I never heard anyone say that the taste of sense gratification is the same in any species of life. So then Prabhupada drove his point home. What's the point in working so hard to get the same flavor the cats and dogs are getting? Ooh, I just collapsed on the couch. Guilty, guilty. And I resolved, tomorrow I'm going to Greenwich Village to find more books by this Swami whose name I can't pronounce. So, this is an extraordinary point, and it's an embarrassing point. Sukham andhyakam daitya. Deha yogena dehinam. The flavor, the rasa of sense gratification is the same in any species of life. It's not that the human rasa of sense grat is special, exotic, fulfilling. No, it's all the same. Flavor is what we're after. That is why people work hard. That is why they go through so many relationships. That's why they're trying to accumulate, entertain themselves, holiday making, this, that, the other. It's all for the flavor. So Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out the flavor that they're after tastes the same. The cats and dogs are getting the same thing without such elaborate arrangements. Very embarrassing. I felt totally embarrassed when I first read that. I can see my whole life in front of my eyes. I can't believe it. I'm just going through all this just to get the same taste that any animal can have. Oh, no. So, here the four Kumaras say, one can thus be elevated by being disgusted with the taste for sense enjoyment. So Prahlad Maharaj gives you that knowledge, how you can be disgusted. And anyway, he said, you don't even have to try for that kind of sukha. It comes automatically. In other words, if you're so attached to it, disgusting as it is, still, think about this. It comes automatically, just like your distress comes automatically. No one works for distress. No one is struggling to be miserable. But the misery comes automatically. So Prahlad says, in the same way, your sukha, your allotment of sense grat sukha, sense gratification, happiness, is going to come to you automatically, even if you don't try for it. This is very revolutionary information. And just see, just think, if whole political and economic systems would be organized around this point. You don't have to strive for your material happiness. It's going to come automatically anyway. Yata dukkha mayatnataha. Just like the dukkha, the distress comes. So, every type of body has its happiness and distress. Not just human beings have happiness and distress. Every type of material body has its own type of material happiness and distress. And guess what? The flavor of the happiness is the same. This is Prahlad Maharaj's information. Now, to be a devotee, we just don't stick to the platform of disgust with the taste for sense enjoyment. No, that disgust with the taste for sense enjoyment is the natural outcome, not of material fatigue, not just of material exhaustion, but it's the natural outcome of fascination with the taste of the nectar from glorifying Krishna. As stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, Pipata Bhagavatam, Rasa Alayam. Go on drinking Srimad Bhagavatam. It has that taste you want. Whether you are liberated or beyond liberation, go on drinking Srimad Bhagavatam, that nectarian rasa. That is Lord Chaitanya's program. Never mind what your status is. You may be conditioned soul, you may be liberated soul, it doesn't matter. Go on hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya, Krishna himself, is showing how to mold one's life so that one can live in peace without drinking Krishna Katha. He demonstrated this throughout his life. In the last portion of his life in Jagannath Puri, he surrounded himself with Harinam Sankirtan during the day in the temple of Lord Jagannath. At night, he surrounded himself with his intimate associates, Sup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, and they recited to him and sang to him verses of Krishna Leela. And this way, Lord Chaitanya is showing you, this is how to do it. This is how to get the job done. His associates were expert in fanning the flames of his Prem Agni, his blazing fire of love of Krishna. Now, Lord Chaitanya is always in the mood of a devotee of Krishna. Particularly, he's always in the mood of Gopi Bhava, the gopi's love for Krishna, and most particularly, the Bhava of Srimati Radharani. Always, he's wanting to taste what she's tasting. Always, he's wanting to feel what it's like to be in her position. Sometimes, Lord Chaitanya acts like Krishna. But generally, you should understand, he never gives up his mood of feeling separation from Krishna as the gopis did in Vrindavan when Krishna left. But sometimes, Lord Chaitanya, he feels like he's Nisringadev and he's roaring around Navadvip and everyone's running away in fear. Sometimes he demonstrates the leelas of other avatars. Sometimes he even acts like he's Krishna. But the overriding reality of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always he's predominated by Krishna. He's not the predominator. That's why he didn't like devotees to address him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's demonstrating how to be a devotee. Still, sometimes he would show, I am Krishna. Or sometimes he would act in the conception that he's Krishna. Those were relishable kind of exceptions, you might say. Just like he was dancing once so attractively. And one meat eater who made clothes for Srivas Thakur, he became enchanted watching Lord Chaitanya dance. And he became so enchanted by Lord Chaitanya's dancing that even though he was a meat eater, Lord Chaitanya showed him his original form as Krishna. And then the meat eater, Taylor, began to jump and dance. I have seen, I have seen, I have seen. And he became one of the most important associates of Lord Chaitanya. Another time, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita how Lord Chaitanya suddenly took on the self-conception of being Krishna. Usually the self-conception was in the position of Srimati Radharani. But sometimes he took on the conception, the self-conception, Abhimana, of being Krishna. And he called out to Srivas, where's my flute? Bring my flute. And Srivas Thakur had to inform him that, I'm sorry, I can't bring you your flute. The gopis have taken it away. Lord Chaitanya was immediately very happy. Bolo, bolo, go on talking, go on talking. And then Srivas Thakur began to describe the Leela Ras, the particular special flavor of Braj Leela. He began by talking about the Vrindavan Madhurya, the sweetness of Vrindavan. And as he's speaking, Lord Chaitanya is becoming more and more enthralled. And at every step of the presentation, Lord Chaitanya would say, bolo, bolo, more, more. And Srivas Thakur would elaborate upon the pastimes. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that Srivastava would describe the Jalakeli, the water pastimes, swimming in the water in the Jamuna. He would describe drinking honey. He would describe, of course, Rasa Leela. And Lord Chaitanya would urge him on, Bolo, Bolo, more, more. And so Srivas Thakur would describe how the gopis heard the flute of Krishna and ran into the forest to find him. And he described the rasa dance. In this way, before both of them knew it, the whole night had passed and it was morning. And then Lord Chaitanya, to bestow his satisfaction upon Srivas Thakur, he embraced him. So this is Lord Chaitanya teaching us how to shape our life so that we're always surrounded by the nectar of Krishna and Krishna's service. He's demonstrating this is the best way to use your short life, how to go back home, back to Godhead in this way. In order for us to do that, to achieve this kind of wealth, this kind of ultimate success in life, we must have the association of devotees. And therefore, through thick and thin, through inconvenience, through sometimes misunderstanding, sometimes you may feel not appreciated, still the devotee clings tight to the association of devotees. And in fact, the devotee prays to the deities, please teach me that transcendental science of being able to associate with devotees. I can't do it without your empowerment. We should not take association with devotees as just something humdrum or something dependent on our normal social skills. Yeah, I know how to relate to people. I was always the life of the party in my former days. No problem, you know, just being bubbly. No problem being convivial. Now, that is not what the Association of Devotees requires. It's a transcendental art, how to associate with devotees so that they are inspired in their service and they inspire you in your service. Just like on the perfectional platform, Srivas Thakur knew just what to do when Lord Chaitanya said, where's my flute? Bring my flute. Srivas Thakur knew how to get the whole bhava going. I can't give it to you. The gopis stole it. You know exactly what to say. And Lord Chaitanya was so appreciative. On our level, we want that same expertise in how to inspire one another in dedication to Srila Prabhupada's mission. If we pray to the deities for that, they'll give us the intelligence and the strength how to swim, dive, and splash in the ocean of devotee association. Then we have a very secure and a very proper environment for our bhakti lata to grow. And remember, that bhakti lata can grow to such an extent that it pierces the coverings of the universe. This is the powerful thing that we're doing. There's no mystic power greater than bhakti, which can produce that creeper, which will wind up in the spiritual world at Krishna's lotus feet. Let us pray as Narottam Das Thakur prays, Tandarat Tranesevi Bhakti Sanevas, Janame Janameho E Abilas. Birth after birth, I don't mind, just let me have the association of devotees. Lord Brahma he asks, just make me something little in Vrindavan, where I can get the mercy of Krishna's associates. Uddhava prays, just make me something tiny, a blade of grass, so the Brijbasis will step on my head. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kita Janmahau, I don't mind taking birth as an insect, as long as it's in the house of a devotee. But if I'm Brahma, I don't have devotees around. Oh, forget that. I'll be an insect in the house of a devotee. Now let us think about that. This is true lifestyle management. This is true lifestyle engineering. So the four Kumaras, they are giving such essential instructions. Automatically, you'll avoid non-devotees. automatically you'll stay away from polluting association if indeed you're molding your life in such a way that you can't live in peace without drinking the nectar of Krishna Katha. For this purpose, Srila Prabhupada has given these facilities. For this purpose, he established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness so that those devotees we have now can constantly drown in the nectarian talks of Krishna, and more persons will be attracted to come in here and chant and disassociate themselves from materially intoxicated persons. This is what we're all about. So the four Kumaras, they are kindly giving this instruction to Prithu Maharaj and all his citizens. Prithu Maharaj doesn't need to be instructed, but earlier he's presenting himself as if he's in need of knowledge, but he's doing that as a social benefit for his people so that the four Kumaras will give relevant instruction for all. And we'll stop here and ask if you have any questions or comments from our senior Vaishnavas. Thank you for giving me your association. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Hari Bol.